Hello, and thank you for joining today's White House conference call on coronavirus support to vulnerable seniors. This call is not intended for press purposes and is not on the record. If you are a member of the press, disconnect now. Please note at this time, all audience members are in listen-only mode to minimize background noise. I would now like to formally begin today's call and introduce the Vice President of the United States, Michael Pence.
Well, good afternoon to all of the leaders in our nursing home community, assisted living facilities, health administrators from around the country, and also men and women involved in senior advocate organizations in America. We are grateful for your time. Thank you for joining us for this conference call focused on all of our efforts to continue to protect America's seniors from the coronavirus. I know many of you were expecting to hear from President Trump today, but as I'm sure you are all aware, President Trump and the First Lady tested positive for COVID-19 yesterday, and as the White House physician confirmed last night, I'm pleased to report President Trump and the First Lady are both well at this time. They will remain at the White House while they convalesce. But the president asked me to take this call today with Secretary Alex Azar and other key members of our team, first and foremost to say thank you, to express his gratitude and our gratitude, the gratitude of all of us who've worked on the White House Coronavirus Task Force, for all of the extraordinary work that the thousands of leaders who are on this call today have done over the past 8 months to protect our most vulnerable. And let me just say on the president's behalf, I hope you will also pass along our great admiration to the dedicated staff, healthcare workers, and all the support personnel who've been working to provide care to America's seniors throughout these challenging days. You have the admiration of American families. You have the admiration of your president and all of us tasked with working on our nation's response to the coronavirus. Please commend your staff. So my first objective today was simply to say welcome to the call and thank you for all that you've done. But secondly was to pledge to each and every one of you our continued partnership as we drive for that day when we will have a safe and effective vaccine and put the coronavirus in the past. But every day between now and then, we will do as we have done from the very beginning, and that is we will focus on the most vulnerable as we work to slow the spread and develop the medicines and ultimately the vaccine that all of us anticipate and hope and look to see in the days ahead. As all of you have worked in and around this industry in nursing home and long-term care and senior advocacy groups know, from very early on, we've taken unprecedented action to ensure that you have the resources, tools, and the support you need to provide a level of care to our seniors. Early in the coronavirus pandemic, it was clear that seniors with serious underlying health conditions represented the most vulnerable to the coronavirus. And working with each and every one of you from very early on, we raised the infectious disease standards at all of our nursing homes. We dedicated all 8,000 of our inspectors to focus exclusively on infectious disease control. Seema Verma of CMS has also all along the way been working with each and every one of you and your organizations. And she'll be on in just a few moments to speak about the training and guidance efforts for staff and personnel as we continue to go forward and provide that every level of protection for our seniors that we would hope to have any member of our family to have in all of your wonderful institutions. And all along the way, we've also worked to develop and distribute PPE. At the present moment, and you will hear from Admiral John Polovchek, our lead in logistics on the White House Coronavirus Task Force momentarily. And so far, I'm told some 14 million masks, 66 million gloves, 13 million gowns, 1.3 million protective eyewear have been sent to nursing homes and long-term care providers, and we're going to continue to work closely with each one of you to make sure that you have the PPE and the support that you need to provide the care that you've been providing every step of the way.
Also, in a few moments, I'm going to turn it over to Secretary Alex Azar, who will talk to you about the over $20 billion in provider relief funds for skilled nurse facilities and that's been made available and also made available for assisted living facilities. The secretary will enumerate that and speak to you about the status of those resources. And as many of you are aware, all along the way, we've been working to make sure that your residents and your staff have the testing support necessary to protect our vulnerable as well. And I know we've heard from so many of you who have been part of the nearly 14,000 certified nursing homes that by the middle of September had received rapid testing devices. But as many of you observed this last Monday, President Trump gave an update from the Rose Garden on our nation's coronavirus testing strategy and announced that we are deploying 150 million rapid point of care tests across the country, 50 million of which are already beginning to go out to vulnerable populations. Admiral Brett Giroir will be with us in just a few moments, and he will detail how as of this morning, we have provided 2.2 million of those Abbott Laboratory Binax Now tests to 7,600 nursing homes, almost a million tests to assisted living facilities. But as Admiral Giroir will describe in greater detail in the balance of this call, that we are preparing as we speak to continue those shipments out. Again, the president directed our team to take the unprecedented step of acquiring 150 million of these rapid point of care tests. We are grateful for the extraordinary American innovation that is represented by Abbott Laboratories and so many of our great companies that have developed these testing resources. In so many ways, we've reinvented testing with American innovation. We've actually completed over 111 million COVID-19 tests to date. We have the capacity to do 3 million tests a day. But the distribution of the rapid testing devices by mid-September and the allocation of 50 million point of care Abbott Laboratory Binax Now tests to our nursing homes, long-term care facilities, and ultimately to hospice organizations. I hope you have a sense. It is reflective of what the president has directed our team to do from the very beginning, and that is to stay focused on protecting our most vulnerable citizens, especially those in nursing homes and in assisted living. And as we all remain vigilant, as I said, we're continuing to drive forward to develop the first safe and effective vaccine in record time. Secretary Azar may take a moment also to catch you up on Operation Warp Speed. It's important that you all understand that that while an independent agency will determine the priority of distribution, we're manufacturing several of those vaccines now. So the moment that the FDA says that we have a safe and effective vaccine, we will literally have tens of millions of doses. And we would anticipate, if the past is instructive, that our most vulnerable, including nursing home residents, senior citizens, would be a top priority for the initial distribution of coronavirus doses. But let me just simply end where I began, and that is extend the gratitude of the President of the United States and every member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force for the incredible dedication of all of the men and women on this call who lead our great nursing homes, our long-term care, our hospice facilities, and all of you who lead the nation's top senior advocate organizations. Thank you for being there through the challenging days of this coronavirus pandemic. And my pledge to each and every one of you is that we are going to stay with you every step of the way to slow the spread, to protect the vulnerable, to save lives until we reach that day where we have a safe and effective coronavirus and put a vaccine and put this coronavirus once and for all in the past. So with that, thank you again for your devotion to caring for America's seniors. On behalf of the president and our entire team, we are all truly grateful to you and your extraordinary staff members. I hope you will convey our very deep gratitude and regard. Now I'm going to turn it over to Secretary Alex Azar, who will begin the presentation. He's going to provide more details on the actions that we've taken to protect our vulnerable. And we'll hear from the head of CMS, Seema Verma, Admiral Brett Girard on the latest on testing distributions, and Admiral John Puleb on PPE supplies. But we are with you today. We are grateful for your leadership. We're grateful for your care for America's seniors, and God bless you all. Mr. Secretary?
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Vice President, and good afternoon, everyone, and thank you so much for joining this call today. As all of you know, President Trump has made protecting the vulnerable in our skilled nursing facilities and assisted living facilities a central part of our response. We grieve for all of those that we have lost to the virus, but I want to emphasize how grateful I am for the hard work that's being done by the leadership and staff of your facilities to keep vulnerable Americans safe. I want to offer some more context on an important, exciting opportunity that we rolled out recently in conjunction with the HHS Provider Relief Fund. As part of more than $20 billion we've provided to nursing homes and assisted living facilities. I want to remind all of you that beginning this Monday, the Provider Relief Fund portal will be accepting applications for additional funding, and I encourage you to apply. Most recently, we sent a tranche of $2.5 billion to skilled nursing facilities to help fund testing, PPE, and other supplies. We've made an additional up to $2 billion available for Medicare and Medicaid certified nursing homes that show improvement in infection control, a topic I'll discuss more in a moment. This is not only an opportunity for facilities that demonstrate real improvement to be rewarded for that work. It also points toward a future where we hope we can pay providers in a much simpler way, prioritizing key outcomes rather than Byzantine quality reporting metrics. This new round of funds also helps address an important lesson that I and other leaders at HHS have heard from skilled nursing facilities, that improving infection control in many cases is not a matter of will, but of skill. Especially when dealing with a new threat like COVID-19, we recognize that many nursing homes need assistance in learning and adopting best practices. That's why we've launched an unprecedented partnership between HHS's Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality and Project ECHO, which works with more than 250 training partners across the United States, primarily academic medical centers, to provide local training and mentorship. Project ECHO is a proven and renowned program for disseminating expertise with real-time, interactive virtual learning. It uses a broad and evidence-based curriculum, constantly updated with what we're learning about best practices and tailored to what you want to learn. This new effort is not only a way to improve your practices, but also an important opportunity to work with local academic medical centers that may, in many cases, discharge patients to your facilities. The Learning Network will also complement new work by CMS's quality improvement organizations to educate providers about how to address issues identified. Just to conclude, I want to thank all of you again for the hard work you're doing through this crisis. Please pass along a personal thank you to all of your staff, the frontline heroes who care for your residents and keep your facilities open and running. With that, I'm going to hand things over to Administrator Seema Verma to talk about CMS's critical work in this area. Seema?
Thank you, Mr. Secretary and Mr. Vice President. Let me start by thanking everyone on the call today and echo the thanks that you've heard from the Vice President and the Secretary. Nursing homes around the world have been on the front lines of this battle, fighting this terrible virus, and it's not lost on us how hard you have worked, and we deeply appreciate your continued vigilance to protect America's most vulnerable seniors. The President's actions to combat the virus were quick and decisive. He boldly restricted travel from China, a key first step in protecting all Americans, and then under his leadership, the entire administration sprang into action with a comprehensive approach to protect the most vulnerable, America's seniors in nursing homes. Our first and top priority has been to ensure that nursing home patients are safe and to ensure that they are able to maintain a high quality of life. From day one, we have kept that principle in mind. We restricted visitation and required nursing homes to quickly inform residents and their loved ones of cases within their facilities. The decision to restrict visitation was difficult. And while necessary, this action has been heart-wrenching for seniors who desire to see their loved ones. And we also understand that infinite isolation and loneliness pose a threat to residents' physical and emotional health as well. And that's why since May, we have been issuing guidelines on how nursing homes can reopen to reunite families with their loved ones. Just recently, we issued landmark guidance to nursing homes telling them how they can facilitate safe in-person visitation. And we are so pleased residents will be able to safely experience the love of their families and friends in person for the first time in months. We have also done everything that we can to support nursing homes on the front lines, providing over 23 nursing home guidance documents starting in February and providing supplies, testing, training, staffing, and financial support, as you will hear from my colleagues. And we've also increased the amount that we pay for testing and allowed labs to test inside nursing homes. We issued a new requirement that nursing homes report cases, deaths, and supply data, and that has been absolutely instrumental in helping us support nursing homes. Thanks to this data, we're able to pinpoint with unprecedented accuracy which nursing homes are in crisis, and we're able to deploy tangible on-site resources to assist. We're also providing nursing homes with training resources we've never offered before. Under President Trump's leadership, CMS and CDC jointly developed an unprecedented national coronavirus training program for both frontline staff and managers that focuses on critical topics like infection control. That training is free and available for nursing homes, assisted living facilities, or anyone who wants to use it. We're also providing more targeted resources to those nursing homes that have cases. We deploy quality improvement organizations to provide intensive, on-site, one-on-one technical assistance to help stabilize individual facilities in crisis. And we're also sending federal task force strike teams composed of CMS, CDC, and HHS clinicians to provide on-site technical assistance, and we've done so in 76 nursing homes in 21 states. Finally, we're keeping nursing home residents safe by enhancing our oversight and enforcement protocols. Early on, under President Trump's leadership, we required states to survey all of their nursing homes focusing on infection control, and to date, 99% of facilities across the country have been surveyed. And when we see that a nursing home has three or more cases, we send surveyors to nursing homes to support controlling the spread of the virus. We have been in near constant communication with facilities on the ground. Not only am I in close contact with key industry leaders to discuss the state of America's nursing homes, but CMS staff hosts regular calls with thousands of participants to walk through recent guidance, rules, and other issues. We are here to support you, and I thank you all for joining us today. And with that, I will turn it over to Dr. Jawa.
Thank you very much, Mr. Vice President, Mr. Secretary, Administrator Verma. Thank you very much for inviting me to be on the call today. As all of you know, our testing ecosystem has advanced dramatically now with over 115 million tests performed for the COVID-19 virus. On 16 separate days, we performed over 1 million tests, and our average test per day last week was approximately 920,000 per day. But it's not just about numbers. Our specific strategy is to protect the vulnerable. And we know that the most vulnerable are our elderly, followed by those in racial and ethnic minorities and underserved communities. So on July 14th, we announced, together with Administrator Verma, that every single eligible nursing home with a CLIA certificate of waiver would receive a point of care testing instrument from either BD or Quidel with associated testing supplies. And as the Vice President said, by mid-September, all 13,850 eligible nursing homes received almost 5 million rapid point of care tests ahead of schedule. If you're one of those nursing homes did not have a CLIA certificate of waiver, we're in the process of shipping to you ongoing this week because you do need a CLIA certificate of waiver for these tests. We have also worked with the companies to make sure that there is a dedicated resupply line for all nursing homes to receive a priority. And Admiral Palubchak is actively working with the distributors, McKesson and Medline, to actually put these numbers as part of his control tower so we can monitor where all tests go, who's reordering, and how quickly you get reshipment. Now, regarding the Abbott Binex Now shipments, as the vice president said, on August 27th, under the leadership of President Trump, the administration awarded a contract for $760 million to Abbott for the delivery of 150 million Abbott Binex Now antigen card point of care test. You may have seen me in the Rose Garden demonstrating this. It's a very simple test. It requires a swab just in the front of the nose. The results are in 15 minutes. You don't need an instrument. And the costs are only $5 per test. We announced in the Rose Garden on Monday that we would be delivering 100 million of these to governors of states and territories beginning this week with a total of 6.5 million tests this week. Governors do have the flexibility to use these tests as they deem fit, and we expect that they will use them to open or reopen K through 12 schools, to support critical infrastructure, to respond to outbreaks, but also as needed to provide additional tests for screening or surveillance in congregate settings like nursing homes or assisted living. In addition to that 100 million and the Quidel and BD, we are also committing approximately 50 million of the Binax tests to be shipped directly to vulnerable populations. So as the vice president said, to date, over 2.2 million Binax Now tests have shipped to 7,601 nursing homes. Now, as opposed to the previous test where we ship them to every single eligible nursing home, we're focusing these tests on nursing homes in counties that are yellow or are red by our classification system. If you're in a red county, you know you need to test your staff twice a week, a yellow county once a week. So we're surging these additional tests to provide you additional options to test your staff and keep safe your residents. In addition to nursing homes, we've sent 968,000 tests to 5,604 assisted living facilities. Again, in our database, these are all the ones that had a CLIA certificate of waiver that were eligible to receive them. This week, we will be sending 1.16 million tests to 7,844 nursing homes, another 500,000 tests to 5,604 assisted living, and just over 250,000 tests to 103 home health hospice agencies to cover testing for staff that visit over 1.8 million patients. So it is critical for us to provide these resources to you so that you can regularly screen your staff so that we can assure the safety of the residents within these institutions. All the actions of the Trump administration, including multiple uses of the Defense Production Act, hundreds of millions of dollars in investment, and regulatory flexibility, including over 200 FDA emergency use authorizations, CLIA enforcement discretion, and application of the PREP Act, have led us to this point. And finally, I cannot say enough, testing is important, but it's only important in the context of those personal responsibilities, wearing a mask, watching your distance, washing your hands, and of course, in your settings, complying with the highest standards of infection control as offered and guided by CMS. Thank you, Administrator Verma, and I will now turn this over to Rear Admiral John Polupchak.
Thank you, Admiral. Thank you, Mr. Vice President, Secretary Azar, and Administrator Verma for allowing me to cover supplies today. We are fundamentally in a different place in the response to the pandemic than we were in March at the onset of the virus. We have more supplies, better visibility of the supply chain from manufacturing to point of care, and an expanding domestic medical industrial base for more than 100 uses of the Defense Production Act. Protecting the vulnerable has been a priority since the onset. We have done several actions to help nursing homes in their mission of protecting our most vulnerable. First, we as the federal government made direct shipments to long-term care facilities. In early April, we devised a plan to provide personal protective equipment, PPE, directly to long-term care facilities. We provided 2 weeks of 14 days of supply, ship directly to nursing homes from the beginning of May through July. Nursing homes in total received two shipments. These shipments included 1.3 million pairs of eye protection, 14.6 million masks, 66 million pairs of gloves, and 13 million gowns. Secondly, in a whole of America response, the administration has prioritized the commercial market and facilitated the delivery of supplies from both industry and federal government sources for nursing homes. These combined efforts of commercial and federal sources have delivered to facilities supporting our most vulnerable from the beginning of March until now, 5.8 million N95 respirators, 44 million masks, more than 31 million gowns, 3.6 billion pairs of gloves, and 2.3 million pairs of eye protection. Third is our use of data to facilitate responding to nursing home needs. Through the use of the survey data from the National Health Safety Network, the federal government is working to ensure all nursing homes have the supplies they need. This survey data has allowed us to directly target any facility that has indicated they're having challenges with supplies. Our actions have reduced long-term care facilities experiencing supply challenges by more than 6%. Said differently, we facilitated increased support to more than 1,000 long-term care facilities. Because of this visibility into the supply chain and down to the point of care via the National Health Safety Network, we have done the following. We have directly shipped 1.5 million N95 masks to long-term care facilities in August from the federal stockpile. We provided our commercial partners list of facilities that are reporting challenges to facilitate additional deliveries to raise the levels of supplies on hand. We've provided governors as well as FEMA and ASPR regions list of facilities with supply challenges to facilitate support from the state and local level. We've deferred from receiving into the national stockpile more than 12.5 million N95 masks in the month of September through October and made them available to the commercial marketplace, directly targeting long-term care facilities as the first priority. This was made possible from the president's use of the DPA and the expansion of the domestic medical industrial base. I'd like to emphasize the importance of accurate reporting in the National Health Safety Network. We are actively using this data for decisions, targeting those facilities expressing needs. Now, switching topics slightly, I'd like to cover our efforts to prepare for any larger outbreaks over the winter and discuss the efforts to transform the national stockpile and the efforts by states to have a stockpile as well. We are in a better place because we've leveraged the Defense Production Act, which has led to greater production of N95 masks, non-woven fabrics for masks and gowns, ventilators, gloves, and other supplies. This has allowed states to stockpile and the federal government to rebuild the national stockpile as well. The national stockpile is building a 90-day supply, and by this winter, we are targeting to have 300 million N95 masks, 400 million surgical masks, 265 million gowns, 4.5 billion pairs of gloves, 16.7 million face shields, and 153,000 ventilators. All of the material for the stockpile is on order, and nearly all of it should arrive by December. We are modernizing the national stockpile using best practices with data-driven decisions, rapid commercial distribution, backstopped by surge contracts. In this framework of stockpiles, the federal stockpile serves as a national backstop. States are also building stockpiles. These state stockpiles support a federal emergency response of locally executed, state-managed, and federally supported. We have had a series of state and FEMA regional calls, and currently, I know that 90% of states have more than a 30-day supply. More than 50 states have greater than a 60-day supply. All of these stockpiles are on top of the daily deliveries to hospitals and nursing homes by the commercial marketplace. Finally, we are fundamentally in a different place in the response to the pandemic than we were in March. We have more supplies, better visibility of the supply chain, from manufacturing to point of care, and expanding domestic medical industrial base to surge from. Administrator Verma, I will pass this back to you to wrap up. Thank you for allowing me to discuss supplies.
Thank you, Admiral. And before we close, I want to take a moment to thank President Trump and Vice President Pence for their unwavering leadership through this pandemic. Under their guidance, we have slashed through siloed government bureaucracy to bring all of our agencies together, marshaling all the tools at your disposal and coordinating a massive response across government, including CMS, HHS, CDC, FDA, FEMA, all coordinated to protecting the most vulnerable Americans. I want to encourage all of you to double down on your efforts around infection control, to take advantage of the training, testing, and support we are providing. Your constant vigilance is needed to fight this virus. And this year, I want to encourage you, especially this year, to get your staff and residents a flu shot. In closing, again, I just want to thank you all for your dedication to America's seniors and your continued commitment to keep them safe from this virus. Thank you.
Thank you to all of our speakers, and thank you all in the audience for joining us today. Once again, this call was not intended for press purposes and was not on the record. The call is concluded. You may disconnect.